Reading Isaiah 40, verse 28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends and the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom.
Thank you, Grady, for reading a word to us this morning. If you would like to stand, please do so now. Let's lift your voices and hearts to the Lord. Lord, you're more than enough for me. Lord, you're more than enough for me. More than I could hope or dream of, you have poured your favor on me. One day in the house of God is better than a thousand days in the world. So blessed, I can't contain it. So much I've got to give it away. Your love has taught me to live now. You are more than enough for me. Lord, you're more than enough for me. Lord, you're more than enough for me. More than enough for me. Lord, you're more than enough for me. More than I could hope or dream of, you have poured your favor on me. One day in the house of God is better than a thousand days in the world. I've got to give it away. Your love has taught me to live now. You are more than enough for me. So blessed, I can't contain it. So much I've got to give it away. Your love has taught me to live now. led me through the fire. Darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend. I've ever lived in the goodness of God. All my life it has been I will.
Good morning. What do you yield towards? When you hear the word yield, you may think of devoting yourself to something. In this specific instance, however, I want to prescribe the idea of investing. Now, with this in mind, what do you yield towards? Simple enough, your job, your spouse, your muscle car, your baseball card collection. The book of Ecclesiastes contains the term under the sun almost 30 times throughout the 12 chapters. In each of these instances, the context suggests a negative or bleak theme. This pattern gives way to the new covenant of which we believers understand as partaking in new birth, new life, and a new commandment. Once we enter into this covenant agreement, what we do, or in this case, yield towards, matters as it is done for the sake of the gospel and the reverence and glory of God. Our labor is no longer in vain. As we allow the Holy Spirit to incline our innermost being towards the likeness of the Lord, we are more readily willing and receptive to yield towards that of which is not in vain, or in this case, above the sky, not under the sun. Why might one commit to such an endeavor or a commitment? For followers of Jesus Christ, according to Romans 8:29, the purpose of our time is to be conformed to the image of his Son. Such conformity rejoices in all seasons of life under the realization that all moments in our lives work for our good for those who love him. Nevertheless, I want to urge you today not to yield or invest in that of which Ecclesiastes warns against, endeavors such as chasing after the wind. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12 states, "Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. These verses remind us of our need for a relationship in a world where no earthly relationship is sure. This feeling of rejection may seem obsolete or distant for some of you, but our Savior willingly identified with the same dilemma. He was forsaken by Israel, denied by the 12, and even by the Father on the cross. With all of this in mind, I want to encourage you today to reconsider what you are yielding towards or investing in. Today, I want you to entrust yourself to God, the only solid truth and reality of this universe. Everything under the sun will finally disappoint and will fail to satiate. But trusting in God gives us the above-the-sun perspective that acknowledges the hope amidst the fallen and harsh realities of vain endeavors. In Christ, Eden will be restored, and the new world has already begun to dawn. Therefore, let us yield to what these emblems represent, the new covenant representation of reconciliation through Christ, his body, and his blood. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this opportunity that you've given us to come here today and to share in the new covenant. We ask that during this time that you would consecrate our hearts and our minds to yield towards what these emblems truly represent. And it's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen. Thank you.
on you now, and then live with this heart full of pain. I want to look life in the eye.
Open my eyes.
I'm tired of falling down on my face.
I'm tired of falling down.
I'm throwing myself.
And I'm supposed to follow that. Thank you, Adelie. I could listen to your voice all day long, girl. I'm sure your parents say the same thing. Oh, thank you, Jonathan and Adelie. What a blessing this morning. We are just going to continue right on in our worship of the Lord this morning. We're going to get right into His Word. Every single one of us deal with life battles. Every week, we struggle to be who God's called us to be. We deal with life situations. We live in a world that is not our home. And sometimes in our battle, we try to fight the enemy. We have an enemy who seeks to devour us each and every day through our life situations, through life circumstances, through worldly events. All he wants to do is rob God of any glory that he might receive through your life and through your worship of him. And sometimes in our battles, we try to fight that enemy on his terms and in his territory. And that is crazy. It's crazy sometimes how we want to battle Satan on his terms, on his turf. And eventually we get beat down and we get defeated by this enemy who wants to destroy us. And let me tell you, God never intended for us to fight this way. He knows we live in a world that Satan roams the earth. God has given Satan the ability. He has allowed Satan to roam the face of the earth. He is the Lord of this world. Not the Lord of heaven. He is the Lord of this world that is not our home. And he seeks to devour especially those who belong to Jesus Christ. God intended us to soar. Soar like eagles. God gave you a life, and his intention for your life was to live life abundantly, joyfully, at peace with him, to walk with him, talk with him, have conversation each and every day with him. That's why he wants to spend an eternity with you and with me. You see, when pursued, talking about eagles, a little research. Eagles fly. Everybody knows that eagles fly very, very high. They're probably one of the biggest birds that can fly the highest out there. I forget the height at which they can fly. But there's a reason behind that. Eagles fly higher than their enemies. Believe it or not, I know how big eagles are. They do have enemies. We'll talk to James maybe a little more about that some other day. The reason eagles fly high is not just for catching food. They fly higher than their enemies. They stay out of reach of predators. When pursued by a predator, this is very interesting, an eagle will fly straight into the direction of the sun. Any idea why they would do that? Because it blinds their enemy. It blinds whatever is chasing them when they fly right directly into the sun. We too have an enemy. We too face a predator. And we are called by God to fly right into the direction of the sun. S-O-N. In Jesus Christ. I want to read to you Isaiah chapter 40, verses 30 and 31. Probably scripture you've probably heard many, many times. Some of you might have this scripture hanging on your wall at home or in an office. Isaiah 40, 30, 31 says, "Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." I walk around church sometimes and I watch our little people. I watch Jaden, I watch Harlow, I watch Grady. These guys and gals, they got energy. They have energy. And they run around as if that energy has no end. As a youth minister many years ago, I used to get very frustrated with some of our older people that would yell at our kids in church and say, "Stop it, slow down, quit running in church." My response was, "No, let them run. God put them here for a reason. They give us excitement, they give us joy. God wants us to be full of energy. God wants us to soar like eagles. He doesn't want us to be beaten down. He doesn't want us to be tired. He doesn't want us to be burned out in any kind of ministry or walk with Him. That's what the enemy wants. God says, you keep your eyes focused on me. You keep your eyes focused on the sun. And you will not grow weary. You will not get tired of serving me. You will not get tired of loving your enemies. You will not get tired of praying for those who persecute you. I will lift you up. I will give you the wings you need, the spiritual wings you need to continue doing what I've called you to do." And that's what I want to talk about this morning. A God who created us to soar, to fly to heights that we can't even imagine we can get to rise higher than the enemy. Sometimes we give ourselves low standards. Sometimes in our guilt and in our sin, we say, you know, I can't reach where God wants me to go. No, you can't. But the Spirit of God living and breathing in you can. And I believe that's what Isaiah is talking about here in his prophecy. When he talks about, you know, God recognizes we're all going to stumble. We all fall. We have an enemy who is very, very powerful. We have an enemy who is very worthy of paying attention to. We are not to mock him or even say, "Bring it on." No, he's a worthy enemy. But we serve a God who is so much more bigger. He has already defeated the enemy through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And because of that, we have been called to soar. So number one in your outline, if you're following the outline in your bulletin, let's talk about what obstacles keep us from soaring with God. God's intention is for you to soar and to soar high and to do big things in the kingdom. So what in our daily lives are obstacles that keep us from soaring with God? I think there's five big ones. If you want to write them down, number one is sin. Our own personal sin. We can never be free to soar where God wants us to go when we are a slave to sin. When we have habitual sin that we have not given over to the Holy Spirit to resolve in our lives. And nobody's immune to that. followers of Christ or not followers of Christ, we've all been there, done that. We've all had sin in our life that we struggle to let go of. Sometimes it's anger. Sometimes it's a fleshly sin of lust, or do we just want what somebody else has? Sometimes it's loss, and we can't get over that loss, and it takes over our life to where we don't even see Jesus anymore in life. We all struggle with sin. One of the biggest obstacles that keep us from soaring with God is our own personal sin. Folks, we need to allow God to resolve that. I don't know what it is or if it is that you are struggling with today in sin that hinders you from going to the next level of where God wants you to be in His walk with Him. But I encourage you to get on your hands and knees today, spiritually. Lay that sin before God. Allow Him to forgive it. Allow Him to remove it as far as the east is from the west in His memory. Move on and allow the Holy Spirit to grow you past that sin. Another huge obstacle, I just kind of mentioned it, from soaring with God is the flesh. We can't soar when we are weighed down by the temptations of this world. If we are constantly giving in to the temptations of this world, and you know exactly what tempts you. Sometimes you get $10 in your pocket, and that just burns about you. And you never have money because you're constantly buying stuff. You just have to buy stuff to fill a hole somewhere in you. Some of you you just want what your neighbor has. I want to be blessed like my neighbor. I want to have a house like my neighbor. I want to have a car like my neighbor. I want a wife like my neighbor. I want children like my neighbor. You spend all your time focusing on what your neighbor has, and you completely are blinded by the enemy of what God has given you. The joys and the blessings He's given you. He doesn't want you to have what your neighbors had. He wants you to have what He's given you. There's a reason He's given you the spouse that you have, the friends that you have, the children that you have, the church that you have, the community that you have, the things that you have. Boy, the flesh can be a huge obstacle that weights us down and allowing us to soar and fly where Jesus wants us to fly. Religion. Yeah, you heard me right. Religion can be a huge obstacle in soaring with Jesus. We cannot soar when we are bound by the restrictions of religion. Some religions don't encourage reading the Bible. Some of them don't encourage prayer. Some of them don't encourage the fellowship of the church. We are not called to follow religion. We are called to follow the living, breathing Word of God. If God says it, if He says to do it, do it. If He says stop it, stop it. There's an old Saturday Night Live skit that I remember. Lady goes into a psychiatrist, and she's got all kinds of crazy problems. And she can't sleep at night, she can't do this, and she's distracted by this and distracted by that. And she goes to the psychiatrist, pays him big money to answer all her questions and to give her advice on how to conquer all these fears that she has and how to conquer all these problems. And this doctor has obviously been in school for a long, long time, and she lays out all her burdens before this doctor, and now she's ready to get the life's answers from him. He sits back and she goes, "So what should I do?" And he looks at her and he says, "Stop it. Just stop it." That's the big answer. I think sometimes God just wants us to stop it. Stop following world tradition. Stop following world religion. Follow my word. Go where I go. Speak when I speak. Listen when I listen. Do what I've called you to do. I think sometimes we get the traditions of religion way too much in the way of just being who God's called us to be. One thing I like about the Restoration Movement, which is part of the Christian Church, Church of Christ, their motto was, we speak where the Bible speaks, and we're silent where the Bible's silent. Religion doesn't do that. We're called to follow the Word of God. If you want to soar, soar where God wants you to be. Follow Him. Don't follow man-made traditions. Number four, I think I'm on, that keeps us from soaring with God is obviously Satan, the enemy. He can put doubts in our minds and obstacles in our lives. All of his methods, all of Satan's methods are meant to draw us away from God. I've said this before. Satan doesn't care beans about you. He doesn't want you. He doesn't love you. He doesn't care about you. All he wants to do is rob you from God. And the only reason he wants to rob you from God is because you bring glory and honor to God in his name. He wants to rob God of any glory, any praise that he may receive. And the enemy will do everything he can to rob God of any of that glory. And that's through you. And he wants you. So he puts obstacles, he puts doubt in your mind. Did Jesus' death, is it really big enough to cover your sin? Does God really know how guilty you are? Does God really know how bad you've been? Does he really know the depths of your depravity? Does he really know how unfaithful you have been in your relationship with him? Satan puts those questions in our minds. He's been putting those questions in since the beginning of time in the Garden of Eden. When he asked Adam and Eve, when he said, did God really mean what he said? He always wants us to question God. Satan is very good at keeping us on hanging on to past hurts, hanging on to pain that hurts us from being grounded in Jesus Christ. He wants you to stay in your pain. Stay in your hurt. Whether you've been hurt in the church, in your family, in your community, in your workplace, Satan wants you to hold on to that. Too many people walk away from God and too many people walk away from church or churches because they hang on to hurt. God wants you to soar above that. He wants you to aim right for the sun, S-O-N. Let him deal with the hurt. Let him deal with the people that hurt you. And focus on him. And the last thing I'm going to give you, that probably, in all honesty, the biggest obstacle that keeps us from soaring with God is probably ourselves. Of all those things, it's probably ourselves. But probably the greatest obstacle for us is to get over ourselves. You see, by succumbing to all the things I just mentioned, those first four, we prevent ourselves from being free to soar. We put all those things in our heart, we put all those things in our mind, and they just distract us and keep us from soaring with God. By refusing to pray, refusing to read the Bible, refusing to go to church on a regular basis, refusing to get involved in the ministry of the church or the ministry of what God's called you to be, we place ourselves on the ground where we are easy prey for the enemy. I got you distracted? You ain't going to do anything for God. We have no one else to blame when we are being attacked by Satan than ourselves sometimes. We like to put that blame on God. Oh, God's testing me. Or why is God allowing Satan to do that to me? You know, sometimes we open ourselves wide open for the attack. Why would we open ourselves? Again, it goes back to, why are we fighting the enemy on his turf? When you are soaring high with God and you are way up here, spiritually you are up here with him, he cannot touch you. You have been told by God himself, you are a child of mine. You belong to me. There is nothing in the universe that can pull you out of my hands. Why would we fight Satan down here when God wants us up here? He can't touch you when you are in the arms of God, focused on him, serving him with and amongst other believers. So those are some things that are obstacles to why I think we see keep us from soaring with God. So how can we soar like eagles? God's called you, I'm going to give you wings. You come follow me, I'm going to allow you to soar like eagles, high above the enemy, high above what the world has in store for you. Kinds of goes along with the obstacles. I think first and foremost, by one way we can soar like eagles is by overcoming the temptations of this world. We need to get serious about that. The world is full of temptations. I preach on that all the time. You've probably heard many, many sermons on temptation. Just like that psychiatrist in that skit, Jesus tells us, stop it. Stop allowing yourself to be tempted. Stop putting yourself in the situation where you're going to be tempted to sin. And Jesus went as far as saying, your eyes cause you to sin, gouge them out. It's better to live without your eyes than to sin against God every single day. I'm not telling any of you go home and literally gouge your eyes out. Don't put that on Joel. What is it your eyes are seeing that's causing you to be tempted? Remove that from your life. Your computer at home is causing you to be tempted? Throw it away. Throw it in the dumpster. There's a relationship at work that's causing you to sin. I don't care what kind of relationship it is. Go get a different job. Whatever it is that's causing you to sink to Satan's level and not soar where God wants you to soar, overcome it. And it can only be overcome with the gift of the Holy Spirit. I think another way that we can fly and soar like God's called us to do is to keep our eyes fixed ahead to the promise of what God has in store for us. We like to focus on the back all the time. We like to have our face in the rearview mirror. God has a plan for you. Keep your eyes focused ahead. Know what the plan is. Know where He's taking you. If you don't know where He's taking you, He's taking you to life everlasting. You have an inheritance with Jesus Christ. Keep your eyes focused on that. If you are focused on heavenly things, you're not going to care beans about what your neighbor has or what your neighbor's doing to you or against you. When your eyes are focused on that, nothing else matters. It's like a brand new relationship, and somehow the world just gets us distracted and we think everything else has it better. It's like a groom on his wedding day. His wife comes down that aisle and everybody else just disappears. Guys, you know what I'm talking about. When your bride came walking down that aisle, there was nobody more beautiful, nobody more tender, nobody more loving. The world just kind of melted away. And she was it. Remember that day when you gave your life to Jesus Christ? There was nothing else in the universe more loving, more kind, more attractive than your Jesus. God says, you stay focused on that. Don't worry about the world. Don't want what the world has. Keep your eyes focused on the Son. Another way we can soar like eagles is be involved in church. Be involved in a church with strong biblical teaching and strong foundations that encourages fellowship and the reading of the Bible. There are churches and denominations that do not encourage that. And there's reasons why they don't encourage that. God says, I want you to be in my word. You don't know my ways. You don't want know my desires without being in my word. I have every answer for you. You want to know me? It's there. You want instruction from me? It's there. You want love from me? It's there. You got to get involved with a family that is going to encourage you to be in the Word and help you understand the Word. By being in church where you can freely worship and not be spiritually bound, to just be able to stand before God and worship Him for who you are, you know, in who you are. God created you. He created you uniquely. To be able to stand with fellow worshipers, knowing that you're not being judged, because we're all sinners. We're all saved by grace. That's going to help you soar where God wants you to be. God wants you to have a spirit of revelation for Scripture, to be able to read the Word and understand it. I get many, many people, Joel, I just read it, I read it, I read it, and I don't understand it. I don't know how you get those revelations that you get out of Scripture. It's very simple. Ask the Holy Spirit to open your eyes to what God is saying to you. You could read Isaiah chapter 40, verses 30 and 31, and receive a message completely different than I receive. And you and I can both be absolutely right in our understanding. Because God wants to speak to you a little bit differently than He wants to speak to me today. Pray to God through the Holy Spirit that He will give you a spirit of revelation of the Scriptures, that you will understand what it is you're reading, that you're not just going to read words. And the more you read and the more you understand, you're going to elevate to new and better heights in your walk with God, in your maturity to Him, to a day where you are going to be raising other people up, discipling other people to fly to the sites where God's having you fly. I think the biggest way that we can soar like eagles with God too is by not believing the lies of Satan. He's going to implant lies in your heart and in your mind. And for some dumb reason, we as human beings, we believe those lies. We believe that we're not good enough. We believe sometimes that God's not strong enough to save us from ourselves. Oh, yes, He is. So if you know that Satan is a deceiver, if you know he's a liar, he's not called the father of lies for no reason. He's the inventor of the untruth. Why would you want to listen to him in the first place? Why would you even listen to anything the enemy has to say? When your ears are tuned in to the shepherd, you know his voice, and you're going to listen to that. I don't even understand why we even listen to an enemy that doesn't care about us, to an enemy that doesn't want nothing that comes out of his mouth is truth. There is no truth in him. Everything about him is a lie. And yet we listen and let him tear us down. You want to fly? Listen to the voice of Jesus. He tells us, "My people know my voice." I hope you know the voice of Jesus versus the voice of the enemy. If not, call on the Holy Spirit to tune your ears into the voice of Christ and follow that voice. So what are some of the results of not soaring with God? Just a couple I wrote down here. One of the biggest results of not soaring with God is you will not fully inherit all that God has in store for you. I said at the beginning, God gave you a life and He wants you to live your life to abundance. He wants you to have a life of peace. And you will not inherit the peace God has to offer you during tests and trials if you are not soaring with Him. If you are being bogged down and listening to the voice of the world, the father of lies, you are not going to be able to hear the still, soft voice of Jesus calling your name to something greater. So real quick, I want to end this morning with asking each and every one of us to ask ourselves, what is preventing me today from soaring with God? We've been told by God, I want you to soar. I want you to soar to new heights each and every week. What personally is preventing me today from soaring with God? Is it financial hardship? For some people, it is definitely financial hardship. You are more focused on financial hardship then you could possibly be focused on your relationship with God. God has an answer for all of these. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, God says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." So quit worrying. If you're making bad choices with money, stop it. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus. He promised, "I will meet all of your needs. You are more important than everything in nature. I will feed, clothe, dress you, shelter you. Just be obedient to me, and I will take care of your needs here on planet Earth." Stop focusing on financial, what you think is financial trouble. Sometimes it's not even financial. Most of us here sitting in these pews are more wealthy than anybody else on the rest of the planet. I'm talking other nations. Is it depression that keeps you from soaring with God? And I know there's medical depression and there's mental. And sometimes our physical bodies, brains fail people. And there's medication required for certain kinds of depression. But man, sometimes we just get depressed in our daily walk. We like to throw pity parties for who we are, what we're involved in, feel guilt of sin. God's got an answer for that. In Psalms chapter 40, verse 2, it says, "He lifted me up out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire, and he set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand." We get depressed a lot because we really don't know where we stand. And our foundation has been shaken by some traumatic event in life, by a life circumstance that we don't know if we can get over. We have this promise from God. He's going to lift me out of that slimy pit, whatever it is. He is going to plant my feet on solid rock. You know as well as I do what that rock is. That's Jesus Christ. He does not shake. He does not forsake us. He will not leave. He will not crumble under any life circumstances. You plant yourself on him, and you're going to soar. You're going to soar great. For you, is it doubt? Does doubt keep you from preventing you from soaring with God? Sometimes Moses had doubt. David had doubt. Paul had doubt. Peter had doubt. God has an answer for that. Mark chapter 9, verse 23. When you say to yourself, I don't know if I can do that. I can't preach. I can't teach. I can't speak. Moses, God, you called the wrong guy here to speak. I'm not a speaker. You have doubt. Mark 9:23 says, if you can, Jesus asked this question. That's a question mark. He knows people are doubting themselves. He said, what do you mean if you can? Jesus says, everything is possible for him who believes. He's saying, of course you can. Whatever God's called you to do, you can do it. Whether you doubt yourself or not. If you've been asked to work in junior church and you think to yourself, oh, I can't deal with those little kids that Joel puts up here in front on Sunday morning. They drive me batty. I have no idea what to say to them. I'd have no idea how to relate to them. Jesus says, what do you mean, if you can? If I've called you to do it, of course you can do it. If I've called you by name, in my name, I've called you to do that, I will give you the tools to do it. I can't speak. My reputation would be ruined forever. You don't understand. Speak to my coworkers at work. Speak to my family. They would disown me if I talk. I can't do that. Jesus, yes, you can. I will give you the courage. I will give you the strength. I will give you the ability to do what I've called you to do. For some of us, it's your life circumstances. Is your life circumstance keeping you from soaring high with God? God's got an answer for that. Romans 8:37. It says, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I don't know what your life situation is right now or any life circumstance that might happen tomorrow. God says, you will conquer it, and you will conquer it in my name because I will stand with you. I will walk through the flames with you. You are more than conquerors in my name because you are going to soar above your life circumstances. And when we soar above our life circumstances, who receives attention? Whose reputation is enhanced? Whose eyes are people on? Jesus. They will see that in your life, and he will be glorified. Five is a big one for me. I think we've all struggled with fear of failure. Sometimes fear of failure keeps us from flying and soaring with God. I was introduced to Philippians 4:13 when I was a young person. If you have any kind of fear of failure, you've read this. It says, I can do everything through him, meaning Jesus Christ, who gives me strength. I can stand before anybody and preach Jesus because he gives me strength. When I was doing my internship for college, learning to be a young preacher, part of my internship, I was told I was going to go into a prison and preach to 200 inmates. I walked into the room where all these inmates were. Don't forget, this is 21-year-old Joel, who's scared to death out of his mind of preaching. I didn't want to be a preacher. I want to be a youth minister. But part of my internship is I had to preach. They threw me in this gymnasium with 200 inmates. I didn't look like any of those inmates. I didn't smell like any of those inmates. I was white and I acted white. I literally turned around and I told the guy that I was doing my internship with, I can't do this. I was ready to go out the door. I said, I can't do this. There was definitely doubt there. And he said, oh, yes, you can. And he read me that scripture. I got up to preach. And the first two words that came out of my mouth, I've got 200 inmates yelling at me, "Preach it, brother, preach it." I turned into a Baptist minister at that point. I started sounding like an old Baptist minister at that point. And I preached, and I preached, and I preached for only about 20 minutes. And these guys were hooting and hollering and raising their hands and praising Jesus. I can't tell you what I said in that 20. I could have been wrong in some of the things I said to those. I don't know. But the name of Jesus was being preached, and they were glorifying him, and I left. And all Mark told me when I was done, "I told you. Jesus told you. You can do anything if you're doing it for him." And I've held on to those words a lot of times in ministry. If fear of failure is stopping you from flying high with Jesus, hang on to Philippians 4:13. The last one I want to give you this morning, that sometimes is the huge thing that we question that stops us from flying high with Jesus, is simply not knowing Jesus. It's hard to soar like an eagle when you don't know Jesus. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 says this, and I'm not even going to add anything to this. Let the Holy Spirit penetrate your heart with these words. "So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life. Not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time." Do you know that? Do you know that absolute word of truth that's found in 2 Timothy chapter 1? You have been given a life. You have been given a Savior that has given you grace. Do you know him? You can go to church for 50 years and not truly know Jesus. You can go through all the motions, and you don't soar high because you don't truly know Jesus. Read that passage over and over again this week. For those of you who have walked with him for 50 years, renew your relationship with him today. Wherever you are in your walk with him, you may be the most mature Christian here. Reestablish that relationship and ask him to continue on in that relationship, that you continue to know new things about your Jesus. I've been married to Mary for 25 years, and there's things that I learn about her that I didn't know 25 years ago. I'm still learning about my wife. She's not learning about me. She knows everything I do wrong. But I'm still learning about her. I'm going to spend a lifetime getting to know Jesus. I won't fully know everything about him until I'm in his full presence for all eternity. So I want to ask you this morning, do you know him? Do you truly know him? And are you constantly trying to know him more? Because without Jesus, we cannot overcome all that prevents us from soaring far above this world. I want to encourage you to trust Jesus to help you spread your wings and start flying towards the Son of Man today. All things, we just read it in Scripture, all things are possible for Jesus, who saved us from Satan, who sought to keep us captive and prevent us from soaring like eagles. That's the invitation this morning. Simple question. Do you know him? It all starts with acknowledging him as King. It all starts with acknowledging him as Savior of the universe. If you've never before laid your life before him and submitted to him and accepted his gift of grace, mercy, and forgiveness, we offer that to you this morning, to come forward, confess him as Lord, be baptized in his baptism, and start your life anew in him so that you can soar like the eagles. For those of you who have already confessed him as Lord and Savior, go home today and ask yourself the question, do I know him? How well do I know my Jesus? What is it today that is preventing me from flying higher with the King? Let's stand this morning. Let's let the Holy Spirit tug on our hearts, and let's respond to the Word of God this morning. Please stand. Let's sing.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love, at the impulse of my love. Take my
remains